Today we begin a very important part of the course. We're going to study one of the most profound ideas of modern mathematics, and that's Georg Cantor's idea of the infinite. Cantor's insight was that infinite sets can be compared by size just as finite sets can. For instance, we think of the number 2 as less than the number 3, so a set with 2 elements is smaller than a set with 3 elements. We would like to have a similar notion of comparison for infinite sets. In this section, we will present Cantor's ideas, and we will give precise definitions of the terms finite and infinite. So the first definition is this. Let A and B be sets. We say that A and B have the same cardinality if there is a function f from A to B which is both 1 to 1 and onto. That is, f is a bijection from A to B. And in these circumstances, we write card A equals card B to indicate that A and B have the same cardinality. Example, let capital A be the set 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Let capital B be the set alpha, beta, gamma, delta, epsilon. And let C be the set A, B, C, D, E, F. The A and B have the same cardinality because the function F equals 1, A, 2, B, 3, gamma, 4, delta, 5, epsilon is a bijection of A to B. It's both 1 to 1 and onto. This function is not the only bijection from A to B. In fact, there are 5 factorial different bijections, but one is enough to do the job. On the other hand, A and C do not have the same cardinality, neither do B and C. How could we see that? Suppose you had a function from C to A. Then you'd be sending 6 letters to 5 mailboxes, so some mailbox would have to contain 2 letters, meaning that the function couldn't possibly be 1-to-1. And that's a proof that C and A are not do not have the same cardinality, and a similar argument shows that C and B do not have the same cardinality. So here's a few words about Cantor's life that you could read on your own. I won't read them to you. He didn't have a very happy life because people were very nervous about the concept of infinity because they were afraid that when you talked about infinity, you were talking about God. And so they attacked Cantor's mathematics because it frightened them. And he had trouble publishing his papers, and he had trouble getting people to listen to his ideas. And he spent a fair amount of time in various asylums, you know, for his mental problems. And in fact, he became so depressed that later in his life, he quit mathematics altogether and spent his time trying to prove that Francis Bacon wrote the works of Shakespeare. But Cantor is remembered as one of the really most important mathematicians of the late 19th and early 20th centuries. His ideas are still very important today. I myself use them every day. All right, let's return to Cantor's ideas. Notice that if the cardinality of A equals the cardinality of B by way of a function f1, which is 1 to 1 and onto, and if cardinality B equals cardinality C by way of a function f2, which is 1 to 1 and onto, then cardinality A equals cardinality C by way of the function F2 composed with F1. So in fact, the notion of cardinality is an equivalence relation. Definition, let A and B be sets. If there is a 1-to-1 function from A to B, but no bijection between A and B, then we will write cardinality A less than cardinality B. This is read A has smaller cardinality than B. We use the notation card A less than or equal to card B to mean that either card A less than card B or card A equals card B. So this is not surprising. It's very similar to the way we handle numbers. Notice that if the cardinality of A is less than or equal to the cardinality of B and the cardinality of B is less than or equal to the cardinality of C, then we can conclude that the cardinality of A is less than or equal to the cardinality of C. Moreover, if A is a subset of B, then the inclusion map I of A equals A is a 1-to-1 function from A into B, so we can certainly say that card A is less than or equal to card B. Example, let A be 1, 2, 3, the set with 3 elements, and let B be 2, 4, 6, 8, 10, the set with 5 elements, then the function fx equals 2x is a 1-to-1 function from A to B, but there is no 1-to-1 function from B to A, again by the pigeonhole principle. So we may write card A less than card B. Now let S be the integer Z and let T be the rational numbers, Q. Certainly the function hx equals x is a 1-to-1 from S to T. It is not clear, but we will see later, whether there is a 1-to-1 function from T to S. But in any event, we could certainly write cardinality s less than or equal to cardinality t, that is to say, the cardinality of the integers is less than or equal to cardinality of the rational numbers. The next theorem gives a useful method for comparing the cardinalities of two sets. Schroeder-Bernstein. Let A and B be sets. If there is a one-to-one function f from A to B and another one-to-one function g from B to A, then A and B have the same cardinality. So this is a remarkable theorem because it says if we can find an injection from A to B and an injection from B to A, then in fact there exists a single map that is a bijection of A to B. The two different injections may be completely unrelated. Often it is much easier to construct two separate injections than it is to construct a single bijection. So the proof of this theorem is a little bit tricky, but I'll go through it with you here. It is convenient to assume that A and B are disjoint. We may arrange this if necessary by replacing A by the set of all A, 0 and replacing B by the set of all B, 1. Let D be the image of F and let C be the image of G. So D lies in B and C lies in A. Let us define a chain to be a sequence of elements of either A or B, that is a function phi from the natural numbers into A union B, such that first, phi of 1 is in B take away D. Second, if for some j we have phi of j is in B, then phi of j plus 1 equals g of phi of j. If for some j we have phi of j is in A, then phi of j plus 1 equals f of phi of j. We see that a chain is a sequence of elements of A union B, such that the first element is in B minus D, the second is in A, the third is in B, and so on. Obviously, each element of B take away D occurs as the first element of at least one chain. Define capital S to be the set of all A and capital A so that A is some term of some chain. It is helpful to note that S is the set of all X in A, such that X can be written in the form X equals G of F of G of F of G of F, and so on and so on, for some of Y, for some Y and B take away D. Observe that S is a subset of C. We set k of x equal to f of x if x is in A take away s and equal to g inverse of x if x is in s. Note that the second half of this definition makes sense because s is a subset of c and because g is 1 to 1. Then k from A maps A to B, and we shall show that in fact k is a bijection. So that's our goal, of course. We have two injections, one from A to B and one from B to A, and what we have now done is constructed k, which is going to turn out to be a bijection of A and B. First, notice that F and G inverse are 1 to 1. This is not quite enough to show that K is 1 to 1, but we now reason as follows. If F of X1 equals G inverse of X2 for some X1 in A take away S and some X2 in S, then X2 equals G of F at X1. But by the relationship defining S, the fact that x2 is an s now implies that x1 is an s, and that is a contradiction. Hence, k is 1 to 1. It remains to show that k is onto. We seek an x in A, so that k of x, let B not be an element of capital B. We seek an x in A, so that k of x equals B. Case A, if g of B is an s, then k of g of B equals g inverse of g of B equals B. Hence, the x that we seek is g of B. If g of b is not an s, then we claim there is an x in A so that f at x equals b. Assume this claim for the moment. Now the x that we just found must lie in A take away s, or if not, then x would be in some chain. Then f at x and g of f at x equals g of b would also lie in that chain, hence g of b is an s, and that is a contradiction. But x in A take away s tells us that kx equals fx equals b, and that completes the proof that k is onto. So we've shown k is 1 to 1. We've shown k is onto. So k is a bijection from A to B. And finally, to prove the claim that we made in case B, notice that if there is no x in A with fx equals B, then B is in B take away D. Thus, some chain would begin at B. So GB would be a term of that chain. Hence, GB would be an S, and that is a contradiction. The proof of the Schroeder-Bernstein theorem is now complete. And that's the end of today's lesson. Thank you for listening.